All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, March 8th of 2024. Looking ahead, we have a six-game NBA main slate tonight, as well as a four-game NHL slate, and then we still have golf going on all day today for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. You get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and get access to the rest of the SaberSim team here. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. We do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and we do this show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So we still have one more show for this week. But with that said, going to get the app pulled up here. Apologies if I sound a little, congested, a little bit under the weather today. So just going to power through here and still get you guys questions, get your questions answered. So in case you guys missed it, did want to call this out really quickly before we got started. We released a new video today called Four Expensive Mistakes to Avoid When Using DFS Optimizers. This is like the first video in a new kind of series that we're going to be doing here. Jordan posted an announcement in Discord just saying, hey, we worked really hard on this one. It's the first of many to come with serious improvements in our production quality and look and feel. So definitely recommend checking it out. So I would highly recommend it as well. Super good video. So we always appreciate you guys' feedback when we try new things. So go over to the YouTube channel, check that out. I will drop it here in the chat as well to give you guys something to check out before you load up your lineups tonight. So don't want to be making any expensive mistakes. But with that said, let's jump back to the Office Hours channel and get started with questions. Looks like our first question came in yesterday evening. Question says, if any specific lineup has the most sim optimals, how is it that its win rate percent isn't the highest? This is a good question. So it really comes down to the fact that sim optimals and contest sims are two different things, okay? So what is happening? You know, let's just talk about the two types of sims on SaberSim. The first one is our game sims, okay? So our game sims are what create our projections. We have 5,000 game sims of each game on the slate. These are what we are using when we build your lineups. We are randomly sampling the game sims from every game on the slate, and then we are playing those out in a slate simulation, and then we're building the best lineups from there. Now, that is where your sim optimals would come from. What sim optimals is when we build your pool, you know, let's say we're building you, you know, 500 lineups. We're only going to put a lineup into your pool one time. Now, in certain formats, especially like showdowns, you know, tennis, maybe like League of Legends, some of these sports where you're going to need an optimal, NASCAR, Formula One, it's not to say that a group of players can only show up as the optimal lineup one time. There could be multiple groups of sims where the same, you know, six players end up as the best lineup. Well, what's going to happen in that situation is we're not going to put the same lineup into your pool twice. So what we're going to do, though, we want to take that information into account. Like, hey, this is valuable information. The fact that this lineup, this group of players is showing up over and over and over again. So what we do is we tally that information as sim optimals here. And then if you go to the single game Saber score formula, you're going to see that sim optimals is a key variable in that formula. So what we're doing is we're saying, hey, this lineup came up over and over again. It probably has a good win probability. So we would just want to take that information into account when grading the lineup. Now, when we actually run the contest sim, that is going to be taking that lineup, putting it into a hypothetical behind the scenes contest with the other field lineups that make up the ownership projections. And then it's going to be playing out that contest, you know, 100,000 times. So although the lineup did well in the Sims, although it was the best lineup available in the Sims, maybe there are other better lineups in the field lineups that are beating that lineup out. So maybe that's why the win rate for that lineup is low. But when we're building the lineups, that's like one sim. And then when we're running the contest sim against the field lineups, that is a different sim. So it's okay if those two things don't match up one-to-one, depending on how the contest sims played out. So hope that makes sense. All right. Next question here. Question says, NHL question. Seems I had my sims pretty locked in. Was getting nice competitive lineups until this weekend. Lineups now, wild ups and downs, not very competitive. Do trade deadlines have that type of impact on the Sims? Let's face it, it is not as simple as adding or subtracting points. There are team dynamics that have to fit and work themselves out. How do you deal with this volume of trades? This is a really good question. You know, we see this a lot. I think like in MLB season, we see it a lot. You know, we see it in the NBA as well. It was like late January was like the trade deadline. And, you know, we see this kind of throughout the year with football, with like coach changes and things like that. Like those times are going to be some of like the highest. It's going to be like highest variance. Like you don't exactly know what's going to happen. Two, if you can kind of figure it out, you're going to have additional opportunities to get edge there. So you got to like, honestly, just like really get your hand in the dirt and like figure out what's going to happen. And I do talk about this. If you go to our contest flashback videos from NFL season, there was a week I did one solo. And this is like all I talked about, like narratives and uncertain. Move from this team to that team, you know, how does that change the team dynamics? And like, you're not 100% sure. So if you can like do extra research and try and figure out, you know, what's going to happen here, listening to interviews, listening to coaches' quotes, paying attention to beat writers, you know, understanding what the field is likely to do based on recency bias and like trying to, you know, figure out what is going to happen and just take a stand one way or another, you know, you can really benefit from a situation like that. So I would check out this video and just kind of listen to like some of my thoughts on at that time in regards to uncertain situations. But I think uncertain situations are probably one of the highest areas of edge if you can figure out, you know, what it maybe is more likely to happen than the field is expecting to happen. So I like those times. You know, you just got to, you know, be willing to dig in and kind of, you know, take a stand one way or another. All right. Next question. Is there a way to create a group rule where I only want to have minimum amount of X group or a maximum amount of X group? So you would just have to create two rules. So basically what you could say is like, hey, you know, write me one rule where I say group, you know, use at least two from this group. And then you write a second rule that says use no more, you know, than five from this group. So there's not a way to do it within a single rule. You can't say like, hey, use between is like basically what you're asking. Like, hey, there's at least, there's exactly, there's no more than you. You're basically asking for like a between option. Unfortunately, there isn't one. But what you can do is say, you know, use at least X, use no more than X, and then just put the same players in this group. So that is what you would be looking to do in that instance. All right. Question from Tim. After a contest has completed, can we create new builds and use contest sims to see the actual flashback sim ROI of the new build to see how it would have performed? Or can we only get flashback sim ROI for lineups we entered into the contest? So right now you can only do it for the lineups you entered into the contest. I honestly think this is a sweet idea. It's something that I've messed around with. Like, hey, what if I could, you know, extract my 20 lineups, put in a new set of 20 lineups, rerun the post contest sim, and then see how this new set of 20 lineups would do. So I think that's like a super cool concept for like future iterations of contest flashback. Like that would allow you to just, you know, run build after build and like see how it grades out in the post contest sim. So I think that's like a super cool idea down the road here. I don't know how hard that is, which is probably why it's not in the app yet, but I'm happy to let the team know that more people are asking for that feature. All right. Next question here. Question from Tuomi. I think Tuomi came in second place in the $4 recently. So congrats on the win there. All right. Question says, can you show on stream how to aggregate projections from other sources? I know how to upload projections, but I can't figure out how to aggregate multiple sources. I knew how to do it with a classic, but can't figure it out in the new app. Yeah, sure. I could definitely do this. So what I would do, I'm just going to open up a fresh build here. And then I'm just going to use like our base projections. So I'm just going to like kind of show this off. So let's say that I'm uploading my own projections, right? I'm going to come in here. I'm just going to do like some random number generator. So rand between, and we'll say 0 and 50. And I'll drag this down. All right. So these are my new projections, right? These are my custom projections here, right? So I'm going to save those. So then I'm going to go to upload CSV. Let this come in here. Just want to make sure my headers are good. So my projection is projection, good ownership. Okay, we're all set. So now I'm going to click save. So then now it's going to give me this option, save user projected sources. So I'm just going to save this as source one. Then I click save. So then now what's going to happen is in SaberSim, I'm going to have two columns, SaberSim projection, and then one, which is my source. Now what I need to do is go to the gear icon. Now I have SaberSim in one. Now I could use the average of the two. So then when I click average, it's going to take these two numbers and then show me what the average is, what the number in between is. If I want to do this differently, maybe I have three sources. I can go to weighted average. And then, or maybe I have two and I want to weight them differently. Maybe I want to go, you know, 75% in favor of SaberSim, 25% in favor of my second source. And then I give it a name and I'll just say weighted. And then I hit apply. So then now I have this weighted option too. And then it creates a new column favoring the SaberSim projections. So the gear icon is going to allow you to toggle between the three. It's going to allow you to get an average. It's going to allow you to do weighted averages and see what source you are currently using in the My Projection column. So that is how you do it. All right. Question here from Larson. Question says, do you recommend creating more than three lineups in SaberSim and then selecting the ones you want to play, or just generating three and using mini uniques to diversify enough? I play three max on FanDuel, even with the mini uniques at four or five, in some cases over eight different contests, I get a distribution that still is heavily weighted towards a few players. Okay, so even with mini uniques. So what's a little confusing to me is that you're saying that, hey, you know, over eight different contests, I get a distribution that is heavily weighted toward a few players. So it sounds like you're building three maxes, but you're playing eight of them. So I just want to be clear that if I was playing eight three max contests, I would be building 24 lineups. So, you know, I just want to make it clear that you know, we are big proponents of building a unique lineup for every entry that you have. Now, with that said, you know, let's say that you're building lineups, right? And let's say you're only building like a few. So this is where I think, you know, mini uniques and max exposure adjustments, where you can use both. And really the goal with mini uniques is almost to have to make less max exposure adjustments. Like before you had it, maybe you were making like 10 to 15 changes. Well, now once you do have it, maybe now you only need to make 1 to 5 changes. And this is what I like. And I'll explain why in a minute as soon as these lineups are finished. So we're just letting the lineups run here. Okay, so now we're in the post build. The exposures are all up here. So before we had mini uniques, you know, you used to use Saber Sim and you wanted to diversify, right? Normally what you would do is sort exposure descending and then probably come in here and just set a bunch of exposures, max exposures to the top owned guys. So maybe I would take, you know, the top five exposures, set them all to, you know, no more than like 60% or something. Well, that was like a suboptimal way of diversifying your lineups because you're not, all you're saying is like, hey, move the highest exposed guys down. But maybe that's not the best option. What Mini Uniques does is you tell the builder basically that you want more diversification in your lineups. It's like, hey, make sure I have at least four players different from every other lineup. Well, now what the builder can figure out is like, hey, what are the best lineups to keep and what are the best lineups to drop? And who do we want to prioritize exposure-wise? And so what the builder is better at doing than humans are just by computing power is it can say, okay, you know, maybe we had 20 guys in our player pool. Let's add 9 players to our player pool, making it 29. And let's move a bunch of exposures down from all these players that are 5 to 25% owned, moving some up, moving some down, getting rid of some. And it figures out the best way possible to maintain the best pieces in your lineup that drive the ROI up while still meeting this threshold. Well, let's say that you do that, right? And then there are still a few players here where you're like, you know what? These exposures still feel a little high to me. Well, that's okay. The tool here, the Mini Unique tool, got you most of the way there. Like in order to add 9 players to the player pool, it had to move a lot of players around and it had to move a lot of players up and down. So instead of you needing to make 15 to 20 min and max exposure changes, well, guess what? Now you just need to make, you know, 2 or 3 to these couple of players that still make you uncomfortable with the risk of your lineups. So that's where I think you can use both. So like in your example, like, hey, you know, I'm using it, but then there's still a couple of pieces that are just like really, really high. Like that's fine. At that point, just max those guys out. The builder's done most of the work for you. And then it'll just, you know, it's getting you 90% of the way there. And you're just helping with the last 10%. So I still think it's okay to use both together here. I would use Mini Uniques first and then set any max exposures that you still need to do after that step is done. But all right. Looking here, looks like we're all caught up with questions in both the Office Hours channel and the YouTube chat. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be right back here tomorrow, Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern for our Saturday show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.